Have you ever had a come to Jesus meeting? We used to talk about that when someone needed to hear something, and it's called a come to Jesus meeting. I had one last night or this morning, and it was really Jesus. It's one of those things where you wake up at 5 in the morning and you think, boy, this is early. And you go try to go back to sleep, and you start tossing and turning, and you find out it's really not working. And finally you get up, and your brain's scrambled, but eventually as you press in to the things of the Lord begins to speak. And part of what, a little piece of what I felt he was talking about was a word that I sensed weeks ago when we talked about having a Maundy Thursday service. And traditionally, it's always the time that there are certain things we remember, and the institution of the Lord's Supper, and we remember the washing of feet. And I felt like the Lord was saying again to me that this wasn't about tonight about simply remembering a historical thing that happened and looking at it from a distance, but that the Lord had a plan that he wanted to have an encounter with each of us tonight. And so don't get scared. I haven't seen lightning or thunder. It could happen, though. Just a sense that the Lord was saying, speaking about his love, and inviting you and me to experience his love tonight, not from a distance, but in a way that personally the Lord comes, and we experience the reality of he and the Father, and how they see each of us, and how they love us. The scripture we wanted to start out with tonight actually comes after the foot washing. And Jesus said in verse 31 of chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Now, when the word commandment is spoken by the Lord, it's not a suggestion, okay? he's making an emphasis that this is a real deal. This is really important to God. And so he says, there's this commandment, this new commandment I give you, that you love one another, how? Just as I have loved you. Oh, just as I have loved you. I love that verse. That verse at weddings, and preaching at a wedding, and going over that verse, and all of a sudden you see the husband and wife look at each other, and they're going, "How are you going to love me like that?" But yet the Lord says, "A new commandment I give you: love one another as I have loved you." How did Jesus reveal his love on that night that we call Maundy Thursday now? How did he express his love as an example for you and me that we could express that same love to one another? The first thing you really note is that Jesus talks about how he understood everything that was going on. He had all power at his hand. He had come from the Father, and he was going to return to the Father. And so Jesus is in this place where he knows he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He knows he's about to go to the cross and suffer unbearable pain and torture for the sins of the world, that the world might be saved. He knows these things. He knows who he is as the Son of God. And so right after he speaks of this, what does he do? He gets up, puts a towel around his waist, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. Try to wrap your heart and mind around that you're in this room, and there's the Lord, the Son of God, and he is about to take upon himself all of the sins of the world, and he's right there. And he knows he's from God, and he's going back to God, and he gets up. And he doesn't say, worship me. He doesn't say, bow to me. He doesn't say, you stupid people, you still don't get it. He gets up and begins to wash their feet. In the world today, there is such a sense, the word of entitlement, that it's really an expression of pride, that I'm entitled to certain things. People in the life of the church, not this church, by the way, but some other church, where people would feel because they were on the first vestry, or they had sung solos in the choir every Christmas Eve, O Holy Night, for 50 years, or had done other things that they begin to see the church as their church, and it's for them to shape the church the way they would like it, because they're entitled. Years ago, there was a man in my parish, very elderly. His wife was having surgery. And so people in the parish, we were taking dinners over to him and spending some time with him. And so Claudia, my wife, had fixed this huge thing of spaghetti and said, Scott, could you drop this off? And I said, sure. So I had other things on my mind because I was a very important person. I was the rector. And rectors have very important things to do. And so, by the way, sarcasm is not a gift of the Spirit, but I go there sometimes. But I'm exaggerating, but yet I'm not. I felt entitled in certain ways because I wore a collar. And so I go over to this man's house, and I think I'm going to be able to drop off the spaghetti and get on with my life because I'm an important person with meetings and things to do. And so the man says, aren't you going to eat dinner with me? He must not know how important I am. And I said, sure. So then he ordered me around the kitchen to get different stuff for dinner for him and myself. And so we're eating dinner and having a conversation, and I've finally given up on a meeting I was going to be at, or I felt I needed to be at. I probably didn't. And so all this stuff is going on in my mind and my heart. And so we finished dinner, and I think I'm going the extra mile. So now I'm taking the dishes, and I'm taking them to the sink, and I'm washing all the dishes, and I'm doing all this stuff. And then I said, I'm going to be going now. And he said, but you haven't washed my dentures. Dentures? I've never touched one. Especially dentures with spaghetti. And so I do what you do. I clean the dentures. But the thing that was going on in my heart was, I went to seminary and got ordained for this? What's that about? That's crazy. It wasn't crazy. Jesus would have been washing the dentures and would have loved doing it. But it convicted me in my heart how far my heart was from where the heart of the Lord was, that heart of humility, that free of the sense of entitlement to say, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior. I'm about to die on the cross. I'm going to ascend to the Father. And yet, I'm not going to say, come and worship me right now. I'm going to say, let me wash your feet. Such humility. Such humility. Whose feet did he wash? Whose feet did he wash? Judas. He washed Peter's feet. Peter was trying to be too spiritual to let that happen, but it was going to happen. It happened. But Peter was going to promise, I'll never deny you, Lord, even though everyone else will. I won't deny you. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, that there was going to be a time that he would take his favorite people with him, disciples, to be there with him as he was approaching this horrible time of the betrayal and crucifixion and all that entailed. And they fell asleep. Jesus knew betrayal, the worst pain. One of the worst pains a person can experience is when you trust someone, a parent, a pastor, a church, someone else, a friend, and you trust them. And all of a sudden, you're betrayed. It hurts. It cuts to the heart. In a sense, everyone was going to betray Jesus in different ways, to different degrees. And he looks at these guys and he says, I'm going to wash your feet. I think of all the things I would have said, maybe you would have said or thought of saying, knowing that betrayal awaited or was even happening at that time. And Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet. Such love. How do I love that way? Third expression of his love that night. He didn't take offense. Betrayal, people deserting him, people falling asleep. He doesn't take offense. He gets on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Such love. It's at a depth that you and I can't humanly imagine. He doesn't take offense. So, in that passage, you see these different expressions of Jesus' love that he says to his disciples, a new commandment I give you, love one another the way I'm loving you tonight. Be a person that doesn't take offense. Be a person that loves and serves when you're betrayed. Be a person that is humble, that does not feel a sense of entitlement to be a special person in other people's lives, but to be humble, thinking about how can I wash the guy's dentures instead of how do I maintain my control. And so the answer to the question is, no one can humanly love this way. We try. I try really hard to love this way. I try to be humble, and I'm very proud of it. You try to be humble, and what happens? Pride slips in. All of a sudden, I'm getting bent out of shape because someone didn't treat me the way I wanted to be treated, or I thought I was to be treated. And so I'm mad. And then I get this rotten attitude. People betray me. How do I love them? How do I love them? And Jesus says you can't. Before you can love like Jesus, you have to be loved by Jesus. Before you can wash someone else's feet, You have to have Jesus wash your feet. You can't skip it. When we try to skip it, that is just pure religion at its worst. Trying to be holy when we can't be. So the Lord says, if hear the commandment, you're to love one another as I have loved you, as I love you. You're supposed to love others that way, in this unbelievable way. But he says, in order for that to happen, you gotta have me wash your feet first. You have to experience my love personally. In Ephesians chapter 3, this is one of the 10 of my all favorites. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a prayer for the church. The prayer is being prayed. It's a prayer that is saying, Lord, give the church strength. Give them something outside of themselves. Give them something from you, God, so that they might have power to experience how high and great, this love that goes beyond understanding. Oh, Lord, give your church this revelation of your love that they might see your love and experience the depths of your love like they've never known it before. People quote John 3:16 all the time, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we say as Christians, we believe that. I accept that truth. It's biblical. It's true. God so loved the world. God so loved me. But in my heart, I carry shame. In my heart, I don't believe God can really forgive me. Why is that? My mind believes something, but the heart hasn't experienced it. The mind can quote scripture left and right, can sing the songs of praise. But the very songs we sing, the heart is going, I don't know that. I don't know that Jesus. My mind does. That's important. Critical, our mind does. But there comes a point where the Lord says, I want it to go beyond your mind and come and fill your heart. In Romans, it says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. See, God's desire is that his church, his people, are going to have an encounter with the Lord, and they're going to come to know his love and the Father's love in a supernatural way, a way that the Holy Spirit within our hearts imparts the very love of Jesus, the love of Jesus that was there when he washed the disciples' feet, when he went to the cross, when he forgave the sins of the world for those who came to him. That same love, he's saying, that's the kind of love I want to impart into people's lives. That they would have an encounter with me. Many of us know, and it's so familiar, I'm not going to read it, but the story of the prodigal son. And you have this beautiful, beautiful story. And it's a story about one of the sons, the younger son, and he wants his dad's loot. He wants the money. And so he does the most disrespectful thing. He says to the father, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. And the father gives it to him, and he goes off in wild living and gets into all sorts of messes, all sorts of problems. And then there's this moment that he's been eating pig's food, and it says, the scripture says in Luke, he comes to his senses, and he decides he's going to go home and risk what's going to happen when he sees the father. And he finds that as he's getting close to home, that the father is actually out looking his way. The father is waiting for the son to return. And the son is going to do penance and all this stuff. And the father loves the son, forgives the son. He puts a robe on the son. He has a party for the son. He puts a ring of authority on his finger and has this wonderful party. And this is the most beautiful story when you read it. And whenever I would read it, I would picture what a wonderful story that is, what that must have been like. But this one time, I came face to face with the Lord. And in the picture of my mind, in the story, I wasn't watching someone else coming to the Father and the Father embracing them. It was me. And I was going to the Father, and the Father was smiling, and he was coming towards me, and he embraced me. That's the kind of stuff that happens when the Holy Spirit in our hearts releases and imparts to us this experience of knowing Jesus as he really is. We know what we know from what we've read and heard, and the teachings have been great. The sermons here at St. Luke's are the best.
Especially this one.
Yeah. No. I'm being humble. But having that experience where you see yourself, you see Jesus, and how he loves you. How he loves you. Can you imagine what a church would look like if everyone was filled with Jesus' love? Wow. Oh my gosh. Oh. The world's looking for it. If they find it, they're going to come. So tonight, this is an ongoing thing, that this encounter with Jesus and his love and the Father's love is something that happens in ongoing, should be happening ongoing in our lives all the time. In worship, in the Word, that we read Scripture, and it's not just simply Scripture, but Jesus is just coming off the pages and touching our hearts. It's the type of thing that happens in worship, alone with the Lord, whatever. But I sense tonight was a night that Jesus wanted to impart a fresh thing of his person and love into our hearts tonight. And the way we would do this is by washing feet. And if you've never experienced foot washing, the mechanics of it are pretty simple. You come and sit in a chair, and someone pours water on your feet over a bowl, and someone dries your feet. But tonight, as that happens, what we're going to do is we're going to be praying for you that Jesus is going to impart something fresh and new into people's lives. Here's a little thing. What does it look like to experience God's love? When we encounter his love, it's an experiential and a felt thing. That could be being filled with a rush of peace. For me, when the Lord does that, I often just feel a peace that goes beyond understanding. Or experiencing him in your emotions. God interacts with many of us through our hearts and our feelings. I've seen people begin to weep as they experience the revelation that they are loved. I've seen people laugh and cry. Sometimes people are just overwhelmed by peace. There's no way to describe what will happen, but it is a tangible encounter. It's a moment when your heart is experiencing the deep love of God that roots you and grounds you in love. Let's pray. Father, I so often can put you in a box, and I can say, this is what the love of the Father is. This is what the love of Jesus is. But Lord, according to your word, it goes so much higher and further than I could ask or imagine. But only by your Spirit can I know your love. And I know your Spirit is here and your Spirit dwells in us, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would remove any walls, any fear. Fear of emotions, fear of what might happen. That we could let you love us tonight. I think about Peter and Peter saying, no, no. And you're saying, yes, yes. And there's all sorts of reasons we put up walls. Maybe lack of faith, whatever it be, Lord. Just take the walls down. That we could receive your love, your peace tonight. Thank you, Lord.